Our scripture readings today are from Numbers, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, 21, and 26 and through 33, and chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of God. The Lord said to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each of their ancestral tribes you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, near Lebohamath. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran, near Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites come from the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy. That, by the way, is one of the more challenging passages of Scripture to read. And so thank you so much for taking on that challenge this morning. We continue a message series entitled "A Way in the Wilderness." A Way in the Wilderness. And it's a word from Isaiah the prophet to the people who had been in captivity in Babylon, in exile in Babylon, that were seeking to go back to the promised land. God was going to lead them back into the land of promise, but he was cautioning them that the way into the land of promise was not going to be in the pattern of the old way. Because years before, generations before, God had led the people out of Egypt into the land of promise, but they got stuck in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness. And so God was saying to them through Isaiah, "I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness." And so they were called to go this new way. They were called to learn from the past, from the places that they had gotten as a people generations before stuck in the past. The thing is that this message is not just for the people in Isaiah's day. Paul reminds us that we're to learn in 1 Corinthians from the examples of the past. There are places that we get stuck too. Yes, this world is very different than 2,500 years ago. But in some ways, human nature has not changed at all. And so we are to learn from the examples of the past. Last week we talked about one of the places they got stuck in the wilderness was when they formed the golden calf. That they took the gold that God had given them and they misused it for a god of fertility, a god of prosperity. And that that is a temptation for us as well, to take the gold God has given us and invest it in things that cannot satisfy. We get thousands of messages every day. If you just buy this, if you just do this, then you will be happy. But all the golden calves of this world do not ultimately satisfy the longing of our heart. Only God, that spring of water that God gives us to drink, only God can satisfy the thirst within, the hungers of the human heart. And so that was last week. We talked about where they got stuck at the golden calf. Today we're going to be looking at this story that Cindy read for us today. It's a story about the people. This is after the golden calf. They were getting ready to go into the land, the promised land, the land that God was to give to them. And so the Lord says to Moses, send out 12 leaders, one from each tribe, a leader from each tribe, and send them on this scouting mission. They're going to check out the land of promise. The land, and this is what the scripture says, that I am giving them. This land was to be a gift to them. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I like gifts. Okay? Sarah, do you like gifts? Do you like gifts? Nancy, do you like gifts? Are you good? Bill, you're good with gifts? Y'all, John, you like gifts? I like gifts. I think it's almost unanimous. Most of us, if given a gift, would say, I like that. That's good. That's good. I like a gift. Gifts are good. But some of the best gifts in life are those gifts, some of the best gifts of life are those gifts in which some assembly is required. Okay? Not like IKEA some assembly. That's another thing. But some of the best gifts in life are some assembly required, that batteries are not included. The gift of health. Many of us enjoy some health these days. I know a lot of things are going around and some parts are not working as well as others, but a lot of our bodies are working and we experience health. But the thing is that we have to participate in that. We are involved in that journey. I'm looking for that study that's going to come out. I know it's going to come out that a diet rich in ice cream and Cheez-Its, will lead to the most healthy life, that it's a vegetable-free life, that's going to lead to a more healthy life. I'm looking forward to that study. It hadn't come out yet, but I'm looking forward to that study. But it's not here yet. We know that if we're to be healthy, we participate in that in one way or another. Some assembly is required. Batteries are not included. We realize in our relationships, marriage and family life can be a great gift, but some assembly is required. Friendship is a great gift, but some assembly is required. And so we have this gift of the land. And we have the 12 that are going to go into the land. And they go into the land to check out the land, to spy out the land. And 10 of the 12 come back. And they say, it's a good land, and here's some of the fruit. But apparently they have a different kind of attitude toward the gift God is giving them. And that is, we want a gift with no assembly required. We want a gift with batteries are included. We want the promised land without perspiration. We want the promised land without perseverance. Because they come back and they say, the land it's okay. Here's the fruit, but the people there are big. And they're strong. They're stronger than we are. And they've got these walled, fortified cities. This is big. This is too big. Well, what they don't realize is that throughout the scriptures, God calls people to something that is bigger than they are. That something that is bigger than what they can accomplish on their own. If our vision is a small vision for life, if my vision for retirement is to be able to sit around all day and watch YouTube videos, if that's my vision for the future, my vision is to binge on Netflix all day, that doesn't require God, friends. If a small vision for life doesn't require God. Sometimes God calls us to something big because it requires us to depend on someone who is greater than we are. They didn't get that. They just saw that in their own resources, that this is big. The people there are stronger than we are. The cities are walled and fortified. This land is going to devour us. This gift is no gift at all. It's going to devour us. We're going to die there. We felt like we were grasshoppers compared to those guys. And they had this grasshopper vision. So let's just hop back to Egypt. Maybe Pharaoh will take us back. That was their perspective. The perspective of we're small, we're just grasshoppers. We can't do this. We can't do this. But two of the 12 said, no, we can't do this. But God, who is with us, is greater. Don't you remember the God who got us out of the land of Egypt? Don't you remember how God made a way through the sea? Don't you remember how God has been with us time and time again? See, the problem that we humans have is we have a very short memory. And we forget the faithfulness of the past, and we only see the obstacle in the present, and we get overwhelmed, and we get back into our grasshopper vision, grasshopper mentality, and say, it's too big. It's too much. I just want a comfortable life. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this, for God is with us. Paul would say it another way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not in my strength alone, but in the strength that God provides. See, that's, I believe, what God is calling us to is a life that requires the intervention of God. Because we are not meant to live this life on our own. We are meant to live this life in community with one another and in communion with the God who longs to show us what God can do when we work with God. A bigger life, a bigger vision than what the people were wanting to just hop back to Egypt. Let's just go. At least we know what to expect there. There are no surprises there. It's comfortable because we know this is the unknown. And we don't want the unknown. We don't want to be overwhelmed with all the possibilities. We just want to stay comfortable. Well, Joshua and Caleb gave it their best shot. But the people were swayed by the 10 out of the 12 who said, this is too much. This is too big. This is way, way bigger than, you know, we're just going to die out there. And so they voted with, they had a vote, and they had this congregational vote, and they voted to go back to Egypt, and they established the first committee we see in the entire Bible, and that's the Back to Egypt Committee, you know, and they elect their captain, and they're ready to go. But the thing about this is that generation got stuck in the wilderness and wandered there because of this decision to see through the vision of a grasshopper. They're too big for us. We're just grasshoppers. This decision led them to wander in the wilderness. Because this is one of the things I believe is I've studied the scriptures and looked at history. God waits until there's a generation willing to say yes, to say, okay, let's do this with you. Let's do this. See, God's mission does not end. God's kingdom is forever. But that doesn't mean that we necessarily are going with God on that mission. God won't force us to go forward in faith. God waited until a generation was gone. And there was a generation that rose up and said, yes. Yes, God of love and God of power, you have called us for this hour, for this day. And we're going with you. We're going with you. I think about the world back in the time when this particular part of the body of Christ got started. And it was a time of great change in the land of England in particular. And the Church of England was a great church, is a great church. But at that time in history, as everything was changing, that there was this tendency to kind of stay in the box and to say, you know what, we don't want to engage the world. We want to do things the way we've always done them. And at that time, there was just great change going on, great social change going on. But many stayed within the box. But there were a few in the Church of England who said, no, God is calling us out of the box. And there was this one priest in the Church of England in particular that decided to go into the fields, to go into the streets. He said, it felt wrong at first. I felt like it was a sin to go preach a sermon outside of a church. But he went into the fields. He started preaching to the coal miners. He started preaching to the marginalized. He started, by the power of the Holy Spirit, people along with him began reaching out to their community. They started getting out of the box, getting out of their comfort zones. And the Methodist revival began. By the power of the Holy Spirit, people willing to say, I'll get out of the box with you. I'll get out with you, Lord. I'm reminded that Dr. Martin Luther King, the last sermon he preached before he was going to be untimely murdered, he gave a vision of the promised land. The promised land, a dream that was bigger than he was. A bigger life. He could have chosen to live a long life, a life of comfort, but he chose to dream a big dream and have a big vision. He said, I may not make it there with you, but you will get to the promised land. He planted the seed of a great vision, of a great community, a beloved community that we're blessed by to this day. Much needs to be done, but we're blessed by the seeds that were planted by the power of the Holy Spirit, a bigger vision, a bigger vision. I'm just reminded that my human tendency is to stay comfortable. My human tendency is to stay in the box. My human tendency is to say, you know, that's a big world. There's a lot of change out there. There's so much going on. And let's just go back to 1990. 1990 was a pretty good year, right? You know, let's just go back to 1990. Some of you weren't born then, but that's not good. But it was a pretty good year, and there's a tendency to try to live in the rearview mirror. But friends, the Scriptures challenge us. There's no life in the rearview mirror. There's no life in a grasshopper vision of it's too big. There's life. There's hope. There's power when we get out of the box. When we get out of the box. When we say, maybe this year in Costa Rica. We say, maybe this is the year I'm being called to get involved in Compel Cares, or to be a reading buddy, or volunteer at CCA, or to be involved in a mission beyond myself. Maybe this is the day to meet that neighbor across the street that I've been kind of wanting to meet, to engage a community that is just like England in the 1700s, changing, but not cowering back in fear, but embracing the opportunity to live, because life is given as we follow the one who makes a way in the wilderness. Not cowering back in grasshopper vision, but in forward-looking faith. God is calling us forward, and that's where life is. It squeezes us sometimes. It's uncomfortable sometimes. But I'm reminded of the story of the man who saw the, 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 the butterfly trying to struggle out of a cocoon. You know, the story of a caterpillar and a butterfly, that's a great image for life, because I'm sure a caterpillar was pretty comfortable as a caterpillar, but then there's that cocoon stage. But then there's a stage where they're coming out of the cocoon, and man saw this butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon and said, you know, that looks hard, that looks painful, that looks awful. I'm going to help that butterfly. And so very carefully, and with you know, a heart to try to help, that tried to just cut across that cocoon, just carefully did a little surgery on the cocoon and opened it up, and the butterfly was free. But the butterfly could never fly. Because what the man didn't know is that the cocoon and squeezing out of the cocoon was necessary to strengthen the butterfly to be able to soar. There are things in life that are challenging for us. There's a land out there that's different than it was in the past. Challenges that are big. But God wants us to soar. God wants us to soar. Not with grasshopper vision, but with forward-looking faith. Let's soar. Let's soar. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we confess to you that, humanly speaking, there is a part of us that sides with the 10 of the 12, the leaders who shrunk back, who wanted a life that was more comfortable, more controlled, but that you call us into faith. Faith that doesn't shrink back from the big, from the future, but looks forward. And so, God, whatever the challenge we face individually, or the challenges we face as a church body or as a people, God, lead us forward to see that you're bigger, your kingdom is forever, and that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Strength us for that journey forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.